Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. You have reached American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Paulette Young, joined also by Selena Lindsay and others. So if you want to call in, all you have to do is dial 858-769-4936. Our topic today is a hot one. Is what is abortion? We will be talking about abortion. Should a woman have a right to abort a fetus? Why are some of the Christians against abortion? Why are the Republicans against abortion? Why is anyone against abortion? Join America Health Crisis host Paulette Young along with Selena Lindsay tonight, and we will go for a full hour. Hi, Selena. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can.
Oh, okay, so the sound is good. So we're off to a good start here, hopefully, on abortion. I'm going to start off with, and if you want to add more to it, you're welcome to it. I'm going to start off with what abortion is. It's a procedure to end a pregnancy. It uses medicine or surgery to remove the embryo or the fetus and placenta from the uterus. The procedure is done by a licensed health professional. You know, I wasn't clear on whether it had to be a doctor or not, but it said a licensed health professional. That can be anybody. Okay, but I'm not clear on that part, so don't take me serious in that area. They inject a numbing medication into or near your cervix, and they use suction device and tubes to remove the fetus. If you abort because some people abort because of sex of the fetus, here in the United States, you do that, you can get up 3 to 7 years, depending on the stage of the pregnancy. You want to add anything to that part? Go ahead.
Technically, I believe there sort of a lot of reasons, just a stack of them, and some of them are not reasonable as to why they do what they do, or and for various different states. Also, I'll throw this into the trash can here. Various different states have different legal ramifications for who is able to do it. Because just like a midwife can bring one into the world, in certain states, a midwife could do the abortion.
Oh, really? So that
yes.
Part I read where it said a health professional, when I was reading more, it didn't say doctor. It didn't say MD. So
no.
What you're saying, that's a fact then?
Yes, because now,
well,
there's a certificate that you could get to be a midwife, more or less to say. Yeah, it used to be you didn't have to have a certificate. You know, women just went around and said, I delivered 80 babies so I can deliver yours. And it was the same person they went to go see if they wanted to terminate.
Okay. Did you read that? Because I couldn't find that. I didn't know that. So they don't have to have a license like MD to abort?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you get up in Nantucket, Alaska, do you think there's going to be a doctor sitting out there in 42 below?
But see, I couldn't find it.
And there's certain
up.
Other states. Well, Utah is horrendously what I call, it's full of Mormons. But in various places, and because of the weather, that's another place that easily goes down 22 below in dead winter, and certain places are far out, even though the land is horrendously flat in certain places, Salt Lake, places around there. But these people, they're not doctors. They don't have no license.
Okay,
Mexico.
So you're in the state of Utah?
Yes, Utah, Wisconsin.
MD.
Yeah, they don't necessarily have
writings on,
and they're not an MD, and they're not a physician's assistant, you know, PA. They're not any of that. And if you go to some of these,
what you're talking
you know,
about,
so-called United States Virgin Islands,
mm-hmm.
okay, and Puerto Rico, there's a lot that goes on that doesn't have those particular legal tags. And that is the United
mm-hmm.
States, regardless of what Mr. Trump said.
You're talking about people that are just doing illegal stuff, right?
Well, yes,
it's
they're doing
law.
It legally. Right.
They're
it's
doing
not,
it legally or
unlawful.
Illegally?
No, it's legal. I would say this past year you have more of a focus on, let's put it this way, being the United States, but more of the focus is on other places, such as Wisconsin, Texas, Virginia. And, I mean, and they're also making it highly political because they come back and say, well, the Democrats still haven't fixed their abortion funding, okay, you know, because the Democrats have the House. So it's become all kinds of things that is not necessarily pinpointed to those people. You know, the Wisconsin lawmakers, they sent a so-called abortion bill to the governor in their particular state. And when this sort of really hit the fan was when the Texas lawmakers so-called did what they call sacrifice of life for their, you know, they sacrificed life for their little bill. You know, and that one just hit the fan because the citizens, they went ballistic with this. You know, why is this happening? And they want to put certain types of clauses about this because they're the ones that came up with, well, what we could do is go ahead and let you do it, you know, but you can't have a heartbeat. So all of these different kinds of things and that are going on, and then half of the so-called clinics, well, you can't do abortion if you ain't got no money. So they come back and say, well, because the Democrats have the House, if they don't vote where these people have can get that money, because in most cases, the majority, I would say probably 98% of the women don't pay for it. You know, this is something that you can make that election once you go and you, they technically send you to what I call several people that can talk to you, counselors, and then see if that is something that you want to do. And then they go ahead with the procedure once you sign it. And also, to whether or not you're of legal age, then it has to be a parent or somebody like that for you to be able to make that decision. So this is a real hot fire situation. And, you know, one of the questions I often ask, if, you know, Texas has turned citizen against citizen over abortion. So how did we get here? What happened? You know, what happened back in the past to take us to where we are today? You know, why is this such a stinker? And, you know, that, of course, brings about what happened with Roe versus Wade, which made abortion legal in all 50 states. And in this case, it did nothing for women in Texas, where it began. And how do we get to where a federal panel in Dallas rules that with Texas anti-abortion laws, and they make it unconstitutional. So this is an interesting...
Hello, Selena?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, the, for some reason, let me, I don't know, this phone, I may have to dial in on a different phone. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. If you were talking all this time, I'm not sure it was recording because I was off. Phone went out. So can you start again? I don't
okay,
think it
well,
was recorded.
I'm going to take the short end of it. Basically, I was going to say where we are is the question is, how do we get to where we are? And so that question is basically because the Supreme Court ruled, and it was called Roe versus Wade, that abortion was legal in all 50 states. The technicality is that case did nothing for the women of Texas where it began, because a federal panel in Dallas ruled that Texas anti-abortion laws were unconstitutional. And the whole mess starts with the fact that a panel in Texas was interfering with state affairs. And it basically also granted that doctors and women the legal right to perform and have abortions, they could still be prosecuted. So this creates a real mess. And most hospitals are refusing because they're fearing the consequences. So even when a 15-year-old girl who said she'd been raped by her father, now mind you, this stuff is happening nearly a century later. You know, the court has refused to block the enforcement of unconstitutional law that is in effect, forcing Texas women to carry unwanted pregnancies. And, you know, so that's sort of all of the political stuff as to how we got to. And the question you asked earlier was, in 1973, there was a justice named Harry A. Beckman who wrote certain kinds of words about evolution and was basically because the Catholics, predominant among them, opposed the legalization of abortion absolutely. And the public reception of Roe was largely positive. And basically, they declared that Roe, you know, there was a, more or less to them, sort of a legal balance in all of this. But you always have the opposing party that there is no balance in this. You know, they feel that this stuff has just run off the railroad track. And to a marked degree, you know, it has. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about those that are on the right side that say, this is just so wrong. And the good, our good Christians. Because, of course, you know, that's not written in the Bible. So if you're going to go too far to the right, then you leave no room. And so and when you don't leave any room, then you're virtually saying the state or the government, so to speak, has a right to tell you what to do with your body. And that whatever happens to you, you still got to do what Caesar say do. And so that's where we go too far to the right. And then at the same time, we can go too far to the left, because when we opened that door years ago, and way back in 1973, it was still coat hanger time. Women that can't go do what they feel they need to do, then they just handle the problem themselves and you open up butcher shops. So this is the discussion to just air it, to find out what's going on. In Ohio, Ohio has a bill that would make it a first-degree felony to not provide newborn medical care to an infant born alive. You know, while you're trying to attempt abortion. And it just gets crazy because the lawmakers can't they can't really seem to put a thumb on, because, of course, lawmakers are lawmakers. They're not doctors. And they're not they do, through the election, have certain people. And, of course, Mr. Trump helped to put certain people there to more or less to say control or balance the situation. You know, so you have pro-lifers and you have other various people, but they can't seem to come to a decent amount of good sense over, you know, how is this going to be dealt with?
Yeah, the other thing, I'll tell you some of the things I don't like. Some of the women go to the abortion clinic, and they all may not be set up like that. But why do you have to convince the woman to have the abortion? I know a friend of mine, because her baby was going to be born. She's in a category, something's going to be wrong with the baby, like spinal bifida.
Mm-hmm.
They want those babies murdered. They want them never to exist. Like, you're going to only let babies that are normal with no physical, mental be born. I'm against that. And I'll tell you why.
Well,
because the one person I did some training with, her child was born with spinal bifida. That child was never to walk. It was supposed to have all this mental stuff. That child grew up, walked, and ain't nothing wrong with the mind. So, but they did try to convince her to murder that baby. I'm against that.
Well, I'm against it, and I think people that are doing that, then they should be fired, because that's not what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to give them choice.
Yeah, they're supposed to give them choice, because now they'll let them see the baby's heartbeat on the ultrasound, and the mother may change its mind, but they're not all like that.
Yeah, well, they're not all like that. And like I said, they're supposed to give them the choice, and they're supposed to, you know, as I say, reasonably listen to the reasons as to, you know, why they feel they may need to do that. And so
that's left up to the mother. In that case, the mother decided to have their baby. And just because their baby was going to have these problems, they felt they would just deal with it. They did not want the baby destroyed because it's not going to be a perfect baby.
Well, I'm not a bit surprised, because when they're doing it to dogs, horses, and other kinds of critters, I mean, you know, if the dog's got a crippled leg, then kill him. And this is the active mind of man, you know.
Let me ask you what do you feel about when they do that to humans?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not surprised that they're doing it to humans, because they're doing it to everything else.
But how do you feel about it? What do you think of it?
Well, I feel that if they're actively doing it, as I said earlier, it's just wrong, because it's supposed to give them a choice. And anything that lives, You can't. It's difficult, because the excuse they want to use is called money. But we see, on the other side of the fence, we see how they waste it. Because, for instance, how are you going to go and kill thousands and thousands of men in a Vietnam War? And essentially, what did it do? And when we talk about, if you say somebody over there made me mad, you can go and make a bomb that costs $100,000 and drop thousands and thousands of them on people. And that's not a waste of money. But when we say pro-life, you can't spend a dime. You know, you want to stuff it out like a cigarette butt. And that's just wrong. Because either one is the same thing. It's killing.
Well, when a doctor is looking at your circumstance, he's still supposed to make sure it's your choice. you may say, well, if it's harmful to the mother's life, that still is another different type of decision. But, I mean, you know, she may die if she has a child, then she has to decide. A lot of women will decide to go ahead and have the baby and lose their own life, and yet there are those that won't do that. But they also, the doctor has to consider the mental health of the mother, too, when they're making these decisions. I'll tell you what, the biggest thing I'm against, a lot of times, and too often, that baby's 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. They've even aborted babies as late as 8 months. And that came from people working in the clinic who quit because now you are killing almost a full-term baby. And that's happened at various times. So it ain't about this three-month thing.
Well, for all of that, I believe law needs to consider where do we draw the line, no differently than the Roman Catholic Church, which wants to draw a line.
The line is trimester. Remember in the beginning they used to tell women it's an ink spot? And then as technology grew, you can pick up the baby's heartbeat. Oh, I guess it ain't an ink spot after all. And then they said it wasn't a whole human being, just blood. And then as technology grew, it showed you had a whole human being. Had eyes, arms, legs. So, it ain't a spot. But those were the lies that were told in the beginning. But now there are women that don't want the baby, period. So the law right now, as it reads, 3 months and below, even though that's a whole human being with all his parts, they can abort it. And I know earlier you mentioned, well, the person, dad raped a child, and the child's pregnant. What do you do in those situations? That's a hard one. I know the Christian world would say, well, not all Christians, but some. It's still a baby. So,
well, I would say some statements like Dr. Millard Jefferson, she's a surgeon, and she's the future president of the National Rights to Life Committee. She publicly stated that after Roe was filed, that she thought herself as being less against abortion than for the sanity of life. And what she said really upset her was not abortion, but it was that her fellow doctors were performing. Okay? And so there's a crazy stuff. You know, and like, again, the Roman Catholic Church, who once drew the line there, and that line was at 16 weeks. And here you go, just like you said, the movement of the fetus was there. And here's Pope Paul, well, you know, they call him Pope the Innocent the Third, and he wrote that abortion could be ruled a homicide only if it was terminated as a pregnancy after the period, after a period. You know, so again, the question is posed, where do we draw the line? Yeah, because there are a lot of circumstances, and at the same time, I'm pro that some things beyond a certain point, you know, I don't care who you are, we can't go kill that fetus. I don't care what happens. You know, that baby deserves to live. It may have to live somewhere else. And I don't feel that person has to go and raise that child. You know, and I believe there are certain circumstances which, you know, may involve rape or mental illness or other things, but that fetus deserves life. And we have to, as human beings, even those that are saying don't kill the roaches and the spiders in your house, take them and throw them back outside. We need to at least exercise some type of humanity about what we're doing to humans. I feel that we're fooling with a dangerous issue. And it is a mark of what I call polarization. And what we're seeing out there with all of this rah-rah, you know, is it's messy. It's real messy. And the fact that, you know, the Supreme Court wants to hear arguments over the Texas law, which basically bans everything. it gets even messier.
On my end, I'm just hoping that everything, I'll have to listen to see if everything's being recorded. Other than that, we'll have to do this thing one more time. Because
I think it might happen because
I have two different phones.
It's dreaming, and the
phone went out again.
Yes, it went out again.
And so now I'm using the cell phone dialing in. And hopefully, I've never had this problem before. All these years. All I did is have to talk about abortion, and the phone goes out. It didn't. It doesn't even show why it's going out. That's the weirdest thing. And I have two different ones. And both of them the same thing. The landlines, normally I haven't had any problems with the landline.
Well, it could be the same as the people are experiencing with their internet. Yeah, because you can go to them and pay more to get more wattage out of it, as they say, and you still start looking at a movie and watch it slow down or suddenly freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on?
I'm paying the extra. I'm not going to pay any more. I'm not sure what just happened. I know you just talked. Can you? I'm not sure because when mine go, because I'm the one that set up the board, if once I'm disconnected, is it still recording? That part, I'm assuming that it is. We shall see in a minute. So I didn't hear you probably for the last 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's just A lot of crazy stuff, and, you know, I find, you know, all these different articles are horrendous, like, you know, the House of Democrats, all but one of them vote for what they call the ghastly abortion bill.
Wow.
And the actual vote was 218-211, and only one Democrat. The Texas Representative Henry Seller with the Republicans opposed the bill. You know, so it's just like I said, you know, it's got a lot of fire, a lot of the pros, a lot of the cons, and the states may still ban, you know, and I think they should, partial birth abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you make.
Mm-hmm. That's gross. I don't see how anybody can work with something like that. That's gross.
Well, I think there's still women out there that, in the first place, you know, I don't know what they're waiting on, you know, because they want to wait till all time runs out. And that's why I say we have to, as humans, we have to come up with a better line of time. That this is, you know, you have to come up with that line that says, pass here, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be. Mm. You know,
I don't know if you have an abortion and it's over 5 months pregnancy, you can go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And and yet those things do take place.
Yeah, that's
and if someone forces you to get abortion, without your consent, you can go to jail for that, to 10 years and a fine. And so some, you know, you're not supposed to force a person to have an abortion either.
Yeah, well, it's
so there is punishment. I don't hear much of the news about
money from this stuff, one way or the other. You know, whether it's Planned Parenthood, and also we have to bring that into the play. Stem cells, where do they come from? They come out of a placenta. You know, and stem cells, big business.
Stem cells come from what?
A placenta.
How's that? Well, but it's a placenta. Yeah, but that's, you have placentas because that, you don't have to abort to get a placenta. Your full-time baby.
Well, I'm just saying it's big business because mostly that's where it comes from. Because that's where they get it cheaply, because what goes in the trash can suddenly turns into money.
Yeah, but it also comes from just a full-term baby.
So yes, they do.
I wouldn't want to take my placenta home. I mean, what?
And since I'm
a
numbers person, I'm going to throw all this in there. You know, the statistics include not only surgical and medical abortions, but basically, so the number of abortions in the United States from basically 1973 to now is 61.8 million. And 186 abortions per 1,000 were live births. And this is according to CDC. And abortions per day, we're talking 2,362. You want to talk about abortions per hour? 98 plus. So this is some wild stuff. You know, and ever since 1965, an average of 11 million women has used some type of abortion type birth control in the United States at one given time or another. So when I say this is big business, this is big business.
Yeah. And a lot of deaths.
Exactly. And Planned Parenthood income breakdown for 2020, they made $370.4 million. Planned Parenthood donations, they made $510 million.
Wow.
The government sticking its hand into it with government grants and reimbursements, $618
million. Wow.
The total profit from this business, $69.7 million. You want to talk about the income from this mess? $1.6 billion. So this is the answer as to how do we get from back there to here.
Mm.
And this is the foggy stuff that's in the brain, because half of the people that sit in these chairs that we sent to the House, they're making money. And who are these females? These females, the age is between 15 and 44. If we want to go demographic on it, the whites are 58.3. That's enough for them to be mad.
Wait, how much?
Which means 36,399,198 of them. Because as I remember as a kid, when they made them pills, they were supposed to be in for black folks or people of color to control these births. Instead, that's why you got these other people that have to go get pills now to have kids, because as you said, when you fool with this, you can end up being able to do nothing. All right, back to statistics. How many blacks? 14%, which is 8,800,000. and 97,793. How many Hispanic or Latino? 11,845. In all of the other races, you notice who they are. So if we're talking about Asiatic, Chinese, Japanese, they just put them all into one set and said 8.5%. And it was 5,303,843. What are we talking about when you say death? We're talking about 62,445,858.
That's a lot of deaths.
Thank you. And this is what we're facing.
Yeah.
Between the money and what they're doing, this is the reason why. It's almost to the point, if you develop a penny for these kind of numbers, you'd be a multimillionaire.
So besides trying to control a race, you feel that money was the motive.
Well, and of course you have the ones that say, okay, we need to have some sex education. Now you're really going to get some folks hot. And sex education is a basic term that's used to describe a wide range of programs, which some of them impart graphic, detailed sexual information to our children. And they use some nice names: sexuality education, family planning, family life education, human growth and development, or reproductive health. Anyway, these programs discuss topics such as sexual orientation, sexual pleasures, birth control methods, and more. What happened to the Cabbage Patch? And our children are continually bombarded with this sexual propaganda. No wonder we're having so many abortions. And back on your topic, these sexual encounters, thus, what are you contracting? STD? Becoming pregnant? Abortion? Using contraception? Not only is the media bombarding our children with this information, but children are also being bombarded with this through sexual education and programs in school. And it's because of such education programs in school, taking away the parents' responsibility of teaching their child about human sexuality. And basically, that's a mouthful, but that's my sense what that meant. You know, today's sex education program, as far as I'm concerned, they've had a horrendous effect on our children. And we see the results today, more and more with teens, because they're becoming pregnant. And they're having abortion, and they're having these STDs. And Planned Parenthood, they continue to make money and push sex education propaganda. You know, it's propaganda, you know, and we're suffering from it. America is suffering from it. Why? And I'm back to the same thing again. It's because of money. And it creates the largest abortion chain ever. You know, and when we say that, talking about our teenagers, well, who are we talking about? It's 3.2 million teenage girls between the ages of 14 and 19. And these are the ones that have these STDs. And despite of millions of tax dollars given to what we call comprehensive sex education by so-called Planned Parenthood, guess what? One out of every four abortions is committed in a Planned Parenthood facility. And so what am I saying? I'm saying in Planned Parenthood, 5,000 871 innocent human beings every week.
Again, if anyone's just joining in and you want to talk or give your opinion or disagreement to anything that's been said, you're welcome to it. Just jump on in.
I would if I could.
Okay, go ahead.
My name's Andrea, and I'm calling from Canada, and I'm very interested in the topic here tonight. I worked in the field of prevention for probably 12 years, I'm going to say. I'm a registered nurse. Saw a lot of very horrible things. And when I say prevention, I mean literally teaching young people how to respect themselves, self-esteem, being able to say no, that sort of thing. It's a very minute part of an education program. But the education programs that are out there now are failing. And they're failing because the evidence is there because abortions and teenage pregnancies and unwanted pregnancies are rampant still. In today's society, we have the ability to help women of childbearing age to prevent pregnancies rather than waiting until they have the pregnancy on board and then seeking out an abortion. My opinion for this is, there's many, many aspects of it. I would like to address the stem cell thing, too, eventually, but my opinion is that we need to come together on this issue. I'm very much what they call pro-life. I don't believe in abortion. And as I said, I worked in the field of education for many years. I think that universal birth control is something that should be worked on together, both sides of the issue, for prevention. Prevention is the only true way to heal this problem. It's unbelievable that we have such advances in science that women are still subjected to this kind of procedure, which damages them emotionally, mentally, and sometimes physically. So I think that rather than discussing a topic like this, we need to be able to provide an answer for it. I think that there's so many poverty-stricken women. Poverty is one of the biggest issues that women seek out abortions because they can't afford to bring up their kids. Drug addiction is another one. It's a huge issue. These women should be provided with funded birth control. There's methods that can be used that have like 3 or 4 years of giving off the birth control method with the little not needles, but they have implants under the skin that they can use. And I think that each state, I mean, I am from Canada, and we have the same issues here. On a smaller level, but still the same issues. And each state and each province in my country should be providing this. When you think of the money, the former speaker was talking about the money that's being made off of this. The money that's being made in these clinics is astronomical. They're not out there to because of this, oh, these poor women need help. They're lining their pockets. They're making billions of dollars off the backs of women who can't afford to keep their children. And even if we took the hard cases like fetal abnormality, maternal illness, rape, incest, those hard cases, they constitute less than 5% of all abortions that are being done. And I'm not trying to minimize that, but there's like upwards to 95% of women choose to have abortion for socioeconomic reasons. And I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think there's got to be a better way of managing our own bodies to protect us from having to make this horrible choice. And I do believe that we need to get on board with our own local areas and really push for universal birth control so that we have clinics that are out there that will provide indigent women, women on the streets with birth control, just like the needle program, if you will. And I think that that's where we need to start, prevent it from happening. Then the choices don't have to be made.
Right.
I think it sounds simple, but that's a start. It is a start.
Yes,
and, I mean, if we don't do that, we're just going to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I agree with Andrea. I'm glad you brought that up. It is about prevention. It is about educating. And the education is not there. And it's not that the young people don't want to be educated. I find when I've gone into some of the schools, not on this issue, but on other issues, their first words they say to me, how come no one's telling us?
Yeah.
We don't know.
They don't know. You're absolutely
Yes. And you know,
something? We had a moratorium on abortions. And we have two hospitals in the city that I live in. And one of them was the main hospital that did the abortions. And then they stopped doing them all of a sudden. And the reason that they stopped doing them, and this has been a gargantuan problem, is another problem. It's education. And because there were repeaters, women and girls that would come in and have, you know what, I know girls that had in their high school careers, you know, for 4 years and had seven abortions. Like, it's unbelievable, the lack of responsibility. That's another thing. When are we going to start taking responsibility for ourselves? We're not stupid people. We know that if you have sex, you can possibly get pregnant.
Right.
You know, when are we going to start, not just women, but men, too? Like, stick a rubber on. You know, and I think that if we can have places where girls can go to and be educated properly, and they stopped doing abortions for that reason at this particular hospital because there were so many repeaters and the doctors were like, well, why is this happening? And they stopped for probably 3 years and the other hospital took it over, but that was the reason they quit it, because there's something wrong with the system. Of course there is, and girls that would come in, you know. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible. You know, one time I was asked to go into a room. I was working on a maternity floor at the time, and they did some of the late term abortions there, and I was asked to go attend a girl that had just birthed her baby, and it was about, I'm going to say, probably 14 weeks or 12 weeks. Oh yeah, easy, and or probably 14 weeks, and she was just crying and crying and crying. And her mother was sitting in the chair next to her with the most, you knew that kid was forced to have that. You knew she was forced into it. She was sobbing and sobbing. And, you know, I looked at, she could look down in between her legs. The baby was laying between her legs. And I covered it up and held her hand. And her mother just sat there with this stern-looking, hateful face. And I thought, you know what? There's more girls out there that are in that position than we even know. And I think we have to be kinder to each other too. You know, both sides can come together on this issue instead of being polarized. And I don't put, you know what, when I did the education stuff that I did, it was out in the community. I never put religion into it. I think religion has no place in it. I really don't. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything like that. It doesn't. It's a scientific thing right now. As soon as people start speaking about God and sin and all the rest of it, I'm a born again Christian, so I espouse that spirituality. But I don't think you polarize the community when you start spouting, and it looks like you're holier than thou and better than those people. And that's one part of it. There's such a vast. It's such a huge aspect in this issue, but I think for all of us to, you know, if you want to really do something, go and start presenting yourself to the government and lobbying for universal birth control. So that's my 5 cents.
Oh no, that's $1 million or more. That ain't 5 cents. Not by a long shot. I love what you said. So the it looks like the root of the problem is in educating. Because if I can't educate you, I can't change the situation. Just like I'm more advocate when I see something wrong, work on it until you can make it right, and especially in the educational part, because I managed to the issue on HIV and the testing procedure. You have one test, which is the antibody test, that gives you either a false positive or a false negative. You have the genetic test, and you can know in 11 to 15 days what a person's status is. And I push for the educational part, that the because to legislate is harder, but to educate seems to be easier. So I had, at that time, I had joined the NAACP here in the United States and got
right.
And you have to go through procedures. You think it's going to be easy, and it's not, because you have those that that fight you. And when you're fighting to educate young people, because we're still at 50% of all new cases below age 25. And when I've gone out to some of the schools to educate the high schoolers, they did not ever, ever reject me. Their biggest words was, how come no one's telling us?
Yeah.
How come no one's telling us that there's two tests and that I can know my status within 11 to 15 days and not have to go back and forth, back and forth? So the NAACP at the national and international level, listen, and through, you know, going through all their procedures, they passed it to add that to their education on HIV. That was
one,
huge.
And one person could do One person can
and,
do that, it, and,
yes.
and all of us together can make it happen. If
and,
I may,
see,
I
love what you're saying. We're going to have to. My brain is thinking, hey, can I even do something through this American Health Crisis Blog Talk Radio? My
sure,
my
you can.
Went, you know, can I?
Yeah, sure, you can.
Is it
can easily
that
be
I
done.
Can get the schools on board to set up something where the kids are listening. You know. We don't always have to be face-to-face with education, because what you
education,
just said,
we also have to, in the same at the same in the same breath, we have to start lobbying our government, because the health, the birth control has to come paid for by the government. I mean, it's just if we want to solve a problem like this and decrease the number of abortions and therefore decreasing health risks to women, then they're going to have to start forking over some bucks for it. And I think, you know, like that's
the
but it's a money making business, like you say. I just want, if I may, I just want to speak about the stem cells for a second. Stem cells, for the most part, are the what happens is that they are most. Let me just read this here so I don't get it wrong. Just a second. They are gathered from a lot of times, they're most times, or both these articles say, of course, now I can't find it because I'm, they are gathered by from embryos that have been discarded from, say, a fertility clinic. I'm trying to still find that. What's it saying here so I can give you exactly? It's from the Medical News Today. I'm so sorry. Oh dear, I'm keeping you on the phone, and I'm really sorry. We can get it. Okay, here it is. Here I think. The IVF clinics, doctors fertilize several eggs in the test tubes to ensure that at least one is survives, but the remainder are collected that are not being in use, and they are provided for. Stem cells, and also there's stem cells that are the patients themselves provide for themselves in cancer treatment and that sort of thing. Maybe you'll get stem cell transplants, and they get that from not just donors, but they'll get it from their own bodies. And so it's not all. I mean, just the article here. They're not provided, and this is another article by the California Stem Cell Agency, and it talks also about embryos coming from, to where do the embryos come from? And again, this organization said it comes from mostly IVF clinics to produce them and use them in the freezer, and they use them for stem cells. So I don't really see anything with regard to abortion in the articles that I've read, so I kind of wanted to throw that out there too. It says here, do all embryonic stem cells come from aborted fetuses? No. Embryonic stem cells only come from 4 or 5 day old blastocysts or younger embryos from fertilized in a laboratory or that have not been implanted in the womb for transfer. And that's from the California Stem Cell Agency. So sometimes, depending on, I don't know where the information that the other caller had, but to be able to do some back checking on some of that stuff, because not everything that's out there is telling the truth, because, as you know, Michael J. Fox, I mean, he fought hard and long to get stem cells for Parkinson's disease, and they fought that, so from aborted babies, I mean, and they were saying they were going to collect them from that. So we have to do a lot of research on what we say as well. And it's not that they don't ever do that. It's just that according to these two articles, the vast majority are collected from either created in a Petri dish or they're collected from IVF clinics.
Yeah, I would have to research that, and that's easy to find, because if you go to the medical library, they have a lot of that information there. And a lot of time when an article's written, if it's going to benefit them, of course they're going to give their side, but you have to look at both sides to really know the full truth. And not many of us are going to go to the medical library. Somebody crazy like me would, because I'm talking on health things all the time. But and then I, talk to some of the physicians, too, who, give me various articles to look at. So, or they have access to things that, because they're MDs, they have access to that. So,
this program, it's the first time I've heard this program, so... are you on a regular basis every week or once a month?
I was on in the beginning every week, but it got to be too much, so I've gone down once a month, the first Monday of every month, the same time.
Okay.
Your number, it shows up on my board. It shows 506-576-1038. Is that correct?
Yes, that's me. Yes, yeah. I live in New Brunswick, Canada, which is a province that sits right on top of Maine, on the east coast of Canada.
And so I would love to contact you somewhere in the near future, because my brain's just like, boy, there's a lot to be done. But what I'm finding is, it's easier to educate than it is to legislate. Because I remember one of the senators here in California said to me, well, Paulette, if it's wrong, it's wrong. But I knew legislation takes longer. Education doesn't. That's why I...
Oh, no, you
got to
do it simultaneously, I think, because you're absolutely right. I mean, it would take forever. In the meantime, we have to promote it and help people understand where things are coming from.
So I started with the education. And it worked. It didn't happen overnight, but that was a lot quicker. Now I can go after the legislators to say, hey, because the NAACP here in the United States is the largest civil rights organization that exists. I think they're 115 years old now. And so I went to them, since they write a lot of procedures and policies for people to follow. I said, I'll just go through them. I told them why I was there. Someone said, yo, you only came for the one. I said, I sure did. But I'll jump through hoops to get this one through, because we're losing our young people. And again, this is another area where we're losing the young people through even before something's legislated, through education, they're listening. I'm telling you, they're listening. I remember one group that the teacher, he says, how long you be here? I said, I'll be here all day. My day is free. And he said, oh, yeah. Well, there's one group. They're the rowdy bunch. I don't think they, you know, not listen to what I have to say. And I said, are you serious? And I argue with him. I said, well, can I have him for at least 15 minutes? Do you know the rowdy bunch that he called the rowdy bunch? He sat there with his mouth open. They listened. Why? Because what I was saying affected their lives. And they're saying,
yes.
Why isn't anyone telling us?
You know,
and
I'm
so
happy to hear that you seem to have a big influence on society. I would like to say there was one time. This is quite a few years ago. It was the Girls Club of America, and I don't know what state it was in, but they had done research because they found their membership that there was more and more pregnancies that were coming about every year.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to combat this somehow. They didn't know how because sex education is in the schools and all that sort of jazz, which has not worked. And so what they found was that the girls and boys too, but they were zeroing in on the girls, that they needed to have classes in self-esteem.
Wow.
To teach them to love themselves enough to know that it's okay to say no. It's okay not to sexualize themselves to attract a guy and that sort of thing. And they had a program and they had classes and that sort of thing for these young women to take part in. And within a year, there was a dramatic change in the number of girls that got pregnant because they were taught to love themselves. Yep. Boys and girls, I'm sorry, I don't know if they, because this is quite old. This was probably, I'm going to say, at least 20 years ago.
Wow.
But they did find, it was the Girls Club of America. There was a particular club, and I don't know if that went through the whole group, but that was, they had a real success rate of decreasing the number of pregnancies by teaching them self-esteem.
Okay. So that's, you know, I know someone that's part of the Boys and Girls Club of America. I'll have to give them a call and find out, are they still doing those types of things? Or is that something that needs to resurface or, you know, be brought back up again? I don't know right now as we speak. I would have to ask, you know, more questions in that area. But since abortion's a hot...
I'm just clicking on it here now. Look at this. Shop, there's ads. Shop Girls Club of America, teaching girls self-esteem. Books out on it and everything.
Really?
Yep. I just put in the Girls Club of America, teaching a girl self-esteem, and that popped up. All these books, Liking Herself, Six Pillars to Self-Esteem. They had great success with this, teaching these young girls. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, that is exciting. Wow. Well, I hope you'll come on again. And who knows, just for this one, it's almost like I'm going to follow up and do some more in this area of abortion, because I like what you're saying. We've had a lot of input, and it seems like there's a need.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the originator of the program, so I can talk about anything.
Yeah.
My background.
Well, I'm happy to be able to even provide that little bit of new information for you, because they had great success with this, with these young girls they had, and they continue to do so. It's exciting.
That is exciting. I have to find out how many here you know, within the surrounding areas and Los Angeles County and Orange County and the different ones that have girls and boys clubs, how are they addressing this issue? And it may be something that hasn't been addressed, or it has, but it hasn't been kept up. That would be interesting to know. And I'll let you know. I have your number. If you want to write my cell phone, number down. You're welcome to it. My name is Paulette Young, and my phone number is 90-
My name is Andrea Wheaton. Let me just, where am I going to put this here? Hang on a second. I'll write it right here. Okay, what is your, Paulette Young?
Yeah.
And you're in California?
Phone, yeah, I'm in California. The
and what's
number
your,
is 909.
909.
Six,
sorry, you broke
seven,
up there. 909.
Uh-huh. Six,
oh, I didn't
seven,
get the last
zero.
Part of it.
909, then 670.
670.
Uh-huh.
6999. 6999. Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah.
And every first Monday of the month?
Yes, every first Monday of the month. I can do more. It's just I'm in the middle of submitting a program to the state of California, and it's tying up some of my time. I finally figured it out. I can't do it all. You got to finish one and then go back, unless
right.
someone else is. You know, take over the part that I'm, the role that I'm playing right now. Not many people want to do it, so, but that's okay. I have kept things going for quite a while. I've been doing this since 2015.
Okay.
I have reached a lot of people. I've reached some of the Canada people also.
Yes.
Glad to have you on. Glad that you came on. How did you find
it? It's an interesting topic, and it's close to my heart, and I'm glad that you have had such success with making a difference.
Yes, the biggest one, I always said, I got to the mountaintop with HIV information. Now it's a matter of going after those politicians.
Yeah. You know, I'm happy to hear you about the HIV, too. I lost my brother to HIV, and... Yeah, and it's, you know, that's another big issue. They're being taken care of much better now because we used to have a lot at the hospital, and there's far fewer now, which is a good thing.
It's far fewer, but it's not fair. When an 18-year-old is getting ready to go to college and he gets tested and he finds out he's HIV positive, and then he's trying to figure out how did he get it and stuff like that. Now, when I talk to the youth, I just tell them, that, you know, the having sex, the playing field has changed. You need to be tested before you get involved. And which test should you take? Both. And if you can't afford to pay for it, then go to Red Cross and have your blood drawn because they have to test with both tests.
Yeah.
Other than that, the whole blood bank will be contaminated.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
And that's reality. And everyone don't have the money for the genetic test. I said, then donate blood. You can't,
you know, something, that's a big issue that I have too for the U.S. I think it's horrible that some of these things can't just be done universally rather than people having to pay for, you know, having their blood drawn to check and see if they're sick.
Right. Well, it's worse than we can imagine because we have what we call OSHA, Occupational Safety and Hazard. OSHA controls the hospital. People don't realize that's a private organization. And they haven't graded their requirements since, was it, 2005? And because I did my homework all the way trying to figure out what's going on. I even went into the Kaiser facility, which is their large, health thing here in the United States. I started interviewing or doing a survey with the physicians. And they said, well, they have to follow the hospital guidelines. Where do the hospital get their guidelines? The OSHA regulations. I asked this. I even had inside the email telephone numbers to be able to read the papers for what is OSHA telling the hospital. Do you know it took me almost 8 months to get that information? And the only way I got it, and I just figured it was God. The person that was in my class that I was teaching, because I do instructor levels for CPR and first aid and other things too, the person that came to my class to become an instructor happened to work for OSHA. I said, you're kidding me. I said, I need this information. Do you know that night he went home and sent it to me, 25 pages.
Wow.
And as I read it, it wasn't easy to read through because you got all the medical stuff that you got to read through. But because of my background is I'm not in the hospital anymore, but I've worked in the hospital as a respiratory care practitioner.
Okay.
My background is science, meaning I have a BA in biology and a minor in bioorganic chemistry, and then while I was in college did research up under a professor who's still alive. She was my mentor. She's now 92 years old.
Imagine.
She's still alive, and we get together once or every other month. And she's her information. Her brain is sharp. She's like having gold in your life. And
isn't that
so
amazing?
That's why I have the ability to do a lot of the things that I do. It's because of the science and medical background put together.
Good for you. That makes a difference. That gives you credibility, you know, that you know what you're speaking about. And I like that. I think people need that more than just someone coming from an emotional standpoint, you know.
Right. No, I know what I'm talking about. I go after whatever it is. And, you know, it took me years to working on that HIV information. But once it passed, it was October the 19th, 2019. I was so like, wow, finally God.
Well, congrats on that. Wow.
I'm a Christian, a born-again Christian, love the Lord, and I feel God guided me. He put this passion in my heart for these young people, and then just knowing those numbers are still high to this day, but with education, we'll see those numbers come down. And I tell you, my biggest response have been from the young guys. When I say that you can get it through passionate kissing. Okay, I was asked to do a health fair, and the person that was part of, that headed up the HIV part, she also head up first at UCLA and then at Charles Stewart University here in the city, in the LA County area, with the the chair the health department, the HIV department for women and kids. So when she heard me, because you had to submit what you're going to talk about, right? So she calls me and says, you can't get it through passionate kissing. I said, yes, you can. Oh, but you have to have this in your mouth and that, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. So I went back, redid how I'm going to say it, and then I decided I'm going to make a joke out of this. How many of you men in my audience is going to ask the woman to see her mouth and ask, do you have any cold sores? Did you bite your gum? They were laughing. I said, so to stay on the safe side, you need to be tested before you put your mouth into somebody else's mouth. And they all agreed. Now, that person, because, you know, I knew her position, that she had a high position. She looked at me and she smiled, but it's true. I said, are you going to take a microscope on your date? They laughed.
Yeah.
I said, safe and not sorry. The playing field has changed.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even though they can, HIV positive person can be, live longer, why get the disease in the first place if you can avoid it? And it's a fact. You don't show any signs or symptoms up to 10 years. That's a long time.
Wow,
and
right? Wow.
Damaged. And so if there's no routine testing and you're going out there like that, and by the time, since you're not being tested, unless you want to get it tested, you'll die faster, because if you're waiting for that 10-year mark to show something, then you won't live that long. Where if they caught it like the first year that you got it, see, you've already been set up on treatment. And it's important to get those treatments. The ones that get the treatment in time, those are the ones that live longer.
Yes.
So, and that's a fact. So I just know the young people don't want to get it at all. And if there's a test for them, because some of the some of the guys go around kissing. They have a girlfriend, a different one every month, because one of them said that to me. He said, well, I've kissed 8 different women. I said, you may want to get tested and have her tested before you start putting your tongue in everybody's mouth.
Well, if anything, the fear of, some fear will be injected into them so that it can, you know, we need to be, like, I'm glad you're doing that, because I just think that we have to, part of it is, like, you've got to have some better choices and responsibilities, like, you know, to be guided by that member and to succumb to it. I just think it's sad, you know. Especially for young people.
All I know is, right, we're in an atmosphere now where the young people want to know. They're not rejecting knowledge. They're less rebellious and wanting to know. It's the approach. No, do's and don'ts don't work for church people or out of the church. It does not work. Educating them in the results and how to avoid getting these things, that works. I'm not going to show you how to put a condom over a banana. That don't work.
It does.
They laugh. They're laughing at themselves. Whoever came up with that they think it's crazy. No, you give them hard facts, and I found that giving them facts works. And how can you get? And some of it is, the way I was able to get into school was really clever. Someone told me. Paulette, you talk about your career, right? Hey, we're going to say this lady's coming in to talk about her career. What is my career? I talk about HIV, part of it. I mean, it ain't all of it. That's how I got
good
in
for
the
you.
Doors. That's how I got in the doors of the high school without sending a notice to parents.
They won't let anybody in the high schools anymore here.
Really?
No, they won't, because what happened was people started wanting to go into the high schools, but they were bringing religion into it, and it just destroyed the whole movement. And I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, you can't go in preaching your faith, but, you know,
no,
if you
I,
go
I
in and...
I don't at all.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying generally, you know, in a general sense that... you know, you have to go in teaching the facts of what you want to bring to them, and it's a big issue here. And if you go in and
I
say
think
anything
the
that,
is religious, and if they would just take and follow what God would have you to do, and not what they want to do, there's a difference. There's just doing it, not following God. Because I'll tell you, I've been on a college campus. I say who I am, and then I leave it, and that's it. I may say that, you know, yes, I believe in God, and not one college, USC did not kick me out, El Camino, junior colleges, on both camps, nobody ever kicked me out, because I just say who I am, and then I go on with what I'm there for. And see, when you learn
well,
to care,
you certainly have been blessed with what you're doing, and I'm sure that there are many, many young people who have had their lives changed because of the information you've provided for them. That's fantastic.
I'm going to figure out something where I can get some of the schools involved. Because I have connections galore. God started having me look at my connections, because I call them my friends, right?
Yes.
I don't even think of my connection. Never thought, hey, that person can help in this area. Never thought about it. And as I talk to you, because even for the Pomona Unified School District, there are people there that know me real well. And if I said something,
well, that's
I'm
exciting too. Like that is, that's a gift standing right there in front of us.
I know, and I never thought of it that way before. It's only recent. I said, that ain't just my friend. That's a connection. Because I'm thinking, since you brought it up about the education, the sex education, it's the approach that's used. When you use the right approach, even the parents don't mind. That's why I said I don't talk about the do's and the don'ts.
I just give hard facts. When you give hard facts, even the parents want them to hear. Because some of the health fairs that I participated in with the school district, the parents were there. And I said, this is what I'm going to talk about. And I even had as young as 13 years old. I didn't mean to scare the young people, but I did.
Yeah, well, I think a little fear is good for you.
One boy said, I'll never kiss a girl.
Yeah. Well, I hope I'll be able to touch base with you again. I'll watch for your program. I have a blog talk program as well, but I have a poetry program that I host twice a month.
Oh, wow.
And I've written. Pardon me?
Is that through Blog Talk Radio or through what?
Yes.
What medium are you?
Yeah, no,
okay,
it's through Blog Talk Radio, yeah. It's
great. Because you got my cell phone.
Yes. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
I'll look for you on Facebook and send you the link for the program.
Right. If you look at, I have the, did I put that on here? Yeah, healthcare consultant. You'll see on the Facebook,
yes.
But it'll have a red and white heart. That's me.
Okay.
There are other people.
I'll look for you and I'll send you the link to my show. We talk about different things. But it's mostly we write poetry and we read the poetry and discuss what we've written. And if you like poetry, you'll like the program. Do you?
Oh, okay. What age group is it for? Anybody?
For me?
Young people? Is it for a
certain you're
age
breaking
group
up really bad. I can't hear you now.
Is it for a certain age group or?
No, we have it's PG-13, so there's no sexual stuff or anything like that on it. We have all different topics. We have different prompts that we write to, and people call in with their poems and read them, and we discuss them, and people make comments on them. And it's if you like poetry, then it's a nice relaxing time. So
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to look forward to you sending that link to me then. Okay.
All
thank
right.
You very much, Andrea.
Thank you very much too. Good. Congratulations on your work, and I pray that you continue to do so. But do you know the author Mitch Albom? He wrote Tuesdays with Maury.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he wrote another book called The Five People I Meet in Heaven, and so I'm
sure
that when you get to heaven, there'll be all kinds of people. Their spirits coming over and recognizing you for the work that you did, that you made a difference in their lives.
I hope so. Girl, I'll tell you, when you fight causes, and the one thing I didn't see that it would not be easy.
No, that's for sure. Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Do you know what? I have to tell you a little story if you've got time for that. There was a poet one time, and I say that with tongue in cheek, I guess. He ran a contest, and the contest was called "I Was So Angry." A funny thing happened on the way to my abortion. That was his contest.
Mm-hmm.
And And I wrote him a note, and you know, basically I was diplomatic about it, but I told him off because I thought there is nothing funny about a woman going on her way to have an abortion. Not one thing funny about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he took offense to that, but there was a lot of backlash for him throwing that contest because it was just a horrible, very bad taste of a horrible thing. That's for sure.
Okay, we'll talk again, okay? Andrea, very interested in this educational part. If that helped reduce teen pregnancy, then more of that needs to be done. And maybe no one can visit it.
And I think, you know, obviously the Girls Cover America are still helping in that area. So, you know, that's food for the schools too, you know? everyday school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But anyway, I wish you much success, continued success with your journey, and it was very nice to chat with you and nice to meet you.
Yes, you too, Andrea. Likewise.
All right,
bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.